there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
And the theme of this year's conference is calling. And so last week, Pastor Mike spoke about the great command to love the Lord your God above everything else. And then this week, I'm going to be speaking to you about the Great Commission. So those are the two things that we think are good kind of launch pads to prepare you for this idea of calling and to be ready, really, to hear what God has to say to you about your calling. So that's what we're going to do today. So let's go is actually one of our values at One Church. And it's not just a nice phrase, it's taken from the scripture, which we now know as the Great Commission, which I'm going to read to you many, many times today. But just to start us off, this is the scripture that we are grounding in today. So in Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that, therefore, go. That's where our value, let's go, comes from. And that's all about serving, whether that's in church, whether that's our community, the wider world on global mission. And so it's a really core part of who we are at One Church. But what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is the idea that God has an individual calling for each and every one of us. Believe that, and that's through the Bible that he has a calling for all of us. But that individual calling comes out of a corporate calling that there is for all Christians. So anyone who has accepted Jesus into their life, said yes to Jesus, this commission from him is a calling. Commission, calling, you can kind of use those interchangeably. And that's something that that we are all asked to do. So your calling is not necessarily a place or a specific job. Your calling is to bring people to Christ, to go and make disciples, but you'll be called by God to do that in different ways, whether that's going to a specific place or having a specific job. But just what I really want to encourage everyone before we dive into what that means is that your calling, if you're sat there thinking, I don't know what job I want and how that helps Jesus, like, he knows. And he knows why he's put you where he's put you. So that's where I was probably a couple of years ago. I was really struggling with this idea of calling and of purpose because I had a really narrow view of it. I was convinced that my job had to be my calling because that was the thing I did every day. That was where I interacted with the most people. I was like, well, that has to be my calling. I work in media. I work in digital media. And so I was like, do I need to retrain? Like, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a doctor, I'm not doing something that, you know, when people tell you their job, you're like, wow, that's impressive. And not to knock anyone's jobs, but like, if you're a teacher, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, wow, that's very impressive. If you sit at a desk looking at SEO and other things like that, it's fun, it's great, but I'm not saving anyone's life. And so I was convinced, like, maybe I need to completely change traction. And it was then when I, Pastor Mike and Danny asked me to, my main role here is I lead our go team. So when we talk about encounter services, our grow personally, and then our go and make a difference, our outreach, that's my role here. And it was, which is based on the Great Commission. And it was when those pieces kind of came together, I was like, that's my calling. And then I will find, God will give me different ways to enact that. But my calling is not my job. It might be your job, but it's not always, it's not necessarily. So if we look back at that scripture, which we can hopefully get now behind us, lovely. Oh, it's broken up on a few different slides, but I'm going to read it to you again another time. I said I would. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Great Commission is not the instruction that we all need to be preachers. And it's not an instruction to do any particular job. none of those words were in that scripture. It's a corporate calling for all of us to dedicate our lives to reaching people for Jesus. So I said about my example, working in media is not my calling, but there are people I genuinely believe in my work who I am called to reach, and I am called to speak to those people. And so that's where I am. Kai and Em, a few weeks ago, Kai and Emily, who if you're part of the family here will know, they shared their story about how they are going to be moving to Austria. If you're part of the One Church family, you were not here for that chat to them. That's a really exciting story. But their calling is not Austria. Their calling is to go and make disciples, and they have been called to Austria by God to do that, just as they were called here from Gloucester first. And so what does that mean for your calling? It means that it's not a destination, it's not a place, it's not a job. Your calling is to bring people to Christ, and God will give you opportunities to do that. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to think, if you're sat there thinking, why am I here? Why am I not there? Like, God has a calling and he has a purpose for you. And this, if you haven't started, this is where you start. So we're going to dig into this. I'm going to break kind of the Great Commission. Just going to look at four different things. So we're going to look at what is being asked of you, how you do it, why you should bother, and why you in particular. And before I dive into that, we've got a few kids in the room, haven't we? We saw them at the beginning. The kids are doing one of a couple of activities. So they've either got a memory verse, which is the Great Commission, which if they haven't got it from the colouring sheets, I'll rab it on enough times for them to get it stuck in their minds. But also we've said to them, like, well, maybe draw a picture or write something around who do you want to go and reach for Jesus? Where do you want to go and reach people for Jesus? So let's take a look. So the first thing we're going to look at is what is being asked of you. So go and make disciples. That's the first part of this commission. That's the ask. But that simply means to make followers of Jesus, to reach people and tell them about Jesus so that they can understand who he is, meet with him, and become a disciple of Jesus. The next part is it's make disciples of all nations. So that means that we have to do this anywhere and everywhere. And that was reassuring for me, because I think that's how we know that this is a corporate commission for all of us, because no individual person is going to be able to reach everyone everywhere, even if they're Tara, jet saying, all over the world. She's not going to reach everyone. So it's a corporate calling. It's something that we are doing together as we're building the body of Christ. Jesus does not expect you to go to every single person. Baptizing them. So the outcome of someone finding Jesus, as Ed talked about earlier, we have these sort of outward signs of an inward change, and baptism is one of those. We baptize people in water, and when people come out of the water, that represents the cleansing of their sin, and that is the kind of the outcome of someone surrendering their life to Jesus, and it signifies the death of their old life and the beginning of a new life. And that, again, does not mean that you specifically necessarily have to be the person to whoop, but that is what we want people to. We want people to experience and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then the next part, which we sometimes like to finish there, don't we? Like, yeah, meet Jesus, baptized, boom, done. The next bit is actually, I think, the hardest bit, which is teaching them to obey commands. It's a step further, and it's a step further than telling people about Jesus. It's discipling them to live according to his commands and according to the things that we have in the Bible, the instructions that we have. We don't want to welcome people in, they give their lives to Jesus, and then we say, be on your way and figure that out for yourself. We disciple people. We want to help people to understand what that means and how to live well for Jesus. And that is part of the Great Commission. You have to do the first bit. They have to meet Jesus for that part to be necessary to then be discipled, but it's not any lesser. So in short, we're being asked to be ambassadors for Jesus. So there's this verse, a couple of verses in Corinthians, which I'm going to read, which I really like. It says, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the commission. That's summarized. We are an ambassador for Christ, sharing the gospel and helping others to live well. And we don't do any judging in that. That's key. It says there, no longer counting people's sins against them. We are just there to meet people where they are and bring them to Jesus. So you can do that wherever you are. Whatever job you're in, whatever country you're in, you can do that. And we've seen through different people's lives, is as you start that, God will reveal more and more of his plan to you. I think sometimes we want, I know this was definitely the place I was in, I kind of wanted to stand in worship like this and God would just sort of boom, impart my life that was going to happen ahead of me. And I was like, oh, okay, I know where I'm going now. I know that's what he wants me to do. In reality, that would be absolutely terrifying. And I would also not be well equipped for it. I've done this a few times now. Before I spoke on, if you'd said this to me a couple of years ago, I would have said, no, thank you, Mike, I will pass on that. It started as I was first, I'm on the worship team, so playing keyboard, I can hide in my corner, happy with that. Running some Go projects, it's very practical, get a Gantt chart, excellent, I'm okay with that. A few years ago, Becca wanted to do a women's breakfast altogether, lovely idea, I'll come along to that. Will you speak at it? Okay. Thank you. 10 minutes, I can do that. That's sort of an extended soap, can do that. And then COVID, I might have got those two the other way around, but COVID, and we were doing our services online, and Mike said, will you do some online hosting? So you come into the building, a few of us just here, and we, social distancing, and we broadcast that. I can do that, there's no one in the room. No problem. Then we come back. Can you do it now from the stage? Okay. It was, the same thing, there's just a few more phases. And it builds up, and it's not that God comes in and one day says, boom, you're going to do this. He will give you things to do that are within your ability, but we'll come on to the ability that he gives you, but it also comes in pieces. And there's an element of your willingness as well that is really important, that you've got to take a step into it. So that leads us nicely on to how do you do it? How do you take up this great commission? It's a pretty big task. You do it with all authority in heaven and earth. Who can say no to that? You've got all authority of heaven and earth. And that's because Jesus, who has that authority, has commissioned you to do it. And he promises he will extend that authority to you. And that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. So after the Great Commission, Jesus ascends to heaven. 10 days later, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down and the apostles are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was a very quick summary of what happens in that period of time, but not got time to do all of it this morning. So the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in them and it dwells in us today. And this chapter from Acts, which is where we see this happen, and it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what I noticed there when I was reading that is the similarity with the language that's in the Great Commission. You can't really see that. It's the wrong colour. I highlighted in a really nice, icy blue, which in hindsight was not a sensible colour to use to make it stand out from white. But you might be able to just make out that I've highlighted telling people, go and make disciples. It's the same thing. Everywhere, across all the nations. It's reiterating that same commission and that same command. But this time, the Holy Spirit's involved. This is being asked of the apostles when they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So from this moment on, the apostles have Jesus's heavenly authority. It's not just that they were the followers of Jesus who studied under him and lived with him. They have the authority of heaven. So it's not just a commission from someone who has that authority, but he has now imparted that authority onto them, and they carry that spirit. The second thing is that our ability to do this comes from God. That's what that tells me. is that the authority and our ability to go and make disciples comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And we are gifted with different skills and different talents to make us more effective. So I'm going to read a slightly longer passage, so follow along if you can. So this is from Romans chapter 12. So just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. That's all of us. That's the church. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I love that passage because it's this lovely list of spiritual gifts that we can all experience. But I'm not going to go into each of those today. Again, that's a different message. But a couple of encouragements that I want to draw out here is the first one, we are all called to different things and God will give us different gifts to do different things well. So the gift that you are given, the spiritual gift that you are given, is what is needed for you to do the thing that God has called you to do well. So none of these gifts are more important than another one, because different people will take on different responsibilities and will have different callings to outlive. The second thing connected with that is that if you have a calling from God, he will gift you with whatever you need to live it. That's a promise. He will give you the gift that you need to be able to do the thing that he has called you to do. He is not going to give you a calling, put something over your heart, and then, again, as we said earlier, say, off you go, have fun with that. He's not going to do that. And also, your calling can and will evolve over time, and so will your gifting. Like, it's not a static thing. It's not that you get one spiritual gift and that is it forever. That's your gift. We see examples, we'll talk in a second, of people different gifting coming through depending on the calling that you have at that time in your life. So if you have a calling from God, if you believe that God has spoken to you to go on a global mission, but you're terrified of flying, you might not be able to do that now. But if you interrogate that and you believe that that's a promise and that's a calling from God, you will go and you will not be scared of flying at some point. I can't tell you when, but that's a promise from God. If you have a calling to preach to the lost, but you're terrified of public speaking, give it some time. And that if that is the thing that God has genuinely called you to do, then you will be gifted with the ability to do that. Peter is kind of a nice example of this. So Peter was one of Jesus's closest friends and followers, but most of us probably know the story of when Jesus was arrested. Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. When someone asked him, do you know who this is? He said, no idea. And then a short while later, after Jesus's death and Pentecost, which we spoke about when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, we hear of Peter preaching about Jesus and the gospel to a crowd of thousands of people, and 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus from that message. He couldn't get, in an earthly term, he couldn't get any closer to Jesus than he was. He was one of his best friends. He'd lived with him for years. He was a disciple. The difference in that, the Holy Spirit within him. It's the Holy Spirit in him that enabled him to do those things. And that is a gift. That is something that is available to all of us. When you are saved, when you accept Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. But we also talk about spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit, which, again, I'm not going to talk loads about today because it's a whole other message. If you don't know what that is and you're curious and you have questions, please come and speak to someone on the team, probably Mike. But I did really feel, when I was preparing this, I felt God kind of nudging me that there might be somebody who understands the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They understand what that means, and they understand the purpose of it, to receive these spiritual gifts, and they want to go and live for God with using these gifts. And they've prayed and they've asked for it. And in that moment, on a kind of surface level, nothing happened. And sometimes I think we can see or read or believe that something really dramatic has to happen in that moment, otherwise it didn't happen. Like, you'll fall on the ground, that can happen, that absolutely can happen, but it doesn't always happen. And so I don't know if this is relevant, but if I want to encourage someone, if they have prayed that and they are seeking that, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't have to look a certain way for you to be able to then step into the calling that God has for you and to receive these gifts. Okay. On to the next part. So we're going to talk about why bother. You know, we've all of that. We understand what the Great Commission is. We understand how we do it. But why? Because we're saved. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved whether you obey the Great Command or the Great Commission. But he wants more from us than that. Again, that would be like, what was it, treating this as kind of the half-time thing. If you just turn up for church, you get some a nice buzz, and then you go. But that's not what we are called to do. So another couple of verses from Romans that we're going to read. This is Romans 10. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. There are so many people in the world, in our lives, who aren't saved, but they might have never heard about Jesus. And we've got this corporate commission to tell them, to make sure that there are as few people as possible who do not know the name of Jesus. Because God's will is for everyone to be saved, but he chooses to use us to do that. And not to be dramatic, but without us responding to that call, there are lives at risk. And like, there are people in your world who you want to meet with Jesus, and you've got to take that step and accept that commission to do it. And why you specifically? I'm talking to all of you, but I can't make eye contact with everyone at once. Because again, you might say that there's a good amount of people in this room. There's people that have been a Christian a lot longer than me. They know a lot more than me. But the world is too big for just a few of us to respond. And going back to that idea that this is a corporate calling for all Christians, because the world is too big. If only a handful of people respond, they cannot physically reach everyone. So a couple of stats here, you'll recognize this if you did the Soul Winners course or read that book, but there are, at the time of the message, 7.9 billion people on the planet, 2.4 billion Christians. That's three people each. In fact, it's actually less than that, because 2.4 of those are already saved, so they come out of that division. If I told you right here and right now, and I said, every single person here, if I said Carly, if I said Annabelle, if you reach three people in your lifetime, everyone will be saved, what would you say? Amen. You'd say, yeah, you'd say, I'm going to go, I'm going to do that. But we don't, because we see it as, and I'm talking to myself here, we see it as a much bigger thing than that. And, you know, it's not going to always outwork like that. Some people will reach a lot more than three, some people not. But what I want to kind of share with that is that it's not as, it's huge, spiritually speaking, but it's not as huge as we sometimes think to go and start those conversations and to reach people. And as we've talked about on different occasions, this doesn't always necessarily mean that you will have that conversation in the moment that someone says yes to Jesus. You might be a seed. You might be someone watering along that journey. But the numbers tell us we've got a good chance. And in fact, if anything, the longer we leave it, the longer we sit on our seats, the top number's going to go up, the second number's going to go down. So the third number's going to go up as well, and it's going to get a lot harder. A verse from Matthew that I just want to encourage you. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." In this scripture, the harvest, that's everyone. That's all the souls. That's the lost souls. And the workers is us. So what the challenge in here is actually not that he doesn't say, so pray to the Lord to save all those people, to reap the harvest. He says, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest to send more workers into the fields. We're the workers. So that's our job. If it feels overwhelming, there are enough of us to make a difference, and you can make a difference in someone's life. And also, we're not responsible for saving. Yeah. Jesus does that bit. That's just a really key kind of point. Like, it is not your job to save someone, but we are responsible for reaching people so that they know who Jesus is and they know what it means to accept him and to be saved. So what now? You've been given a commission. Will you accept it? Is my question. If this is you, like, stop looking for flashing lights and step into the first thing that God says to you, the small thing that God has asked you to do, and just live called. If you take a step, he'll show you the next one. And to kind of summarize and to reiterate, the Great Commission is an essential commission from Jesus to all Christians. We do have individual callings, and I believe there's amazing things for everybody in that, but and those look different, they'll take us to different places, but every individual calling comes out of this corporate calling for all of us. So if you don't understand that commission, I think you'll struggle to find your calling, like I did when I was convinced it had to be a job. Your calling is not a specific destination or a place necessarily. It's to bring people to Christ. And your job is to listen to God for where he directs you to do that. It's going to quickly catch a couple of blockers that you might be thinking. Just some practical things that you can do. So if you're thinking, I don't know what my calling is, I'm going to say to you, yes, you do. We've covered that. This is everyone's calling. And I honestly believe if you step into that, more things will come. If you say, I don't know how to, or I don't want to preach, that's not the ask. Hopefully we covered that at the beginning, but the ask is to become an ambassador and to show Jesus to the world. Again, similarly, number three, I can't save anyone. That's not your job. Jesus does that part. Number four, I'm not feeling it. I think we're past the negative of that, I don't feel like it. I think as a church, we're pretty galvanized that this is something that's important for us to do. But I was reflecting on this and actually thinking that we can get stuck on the other side of that, of the, like, I've not had a feeling, so I won't go yet. And that's that song that we sang just before at the end of communion was so important. It's saying, wherever you go, I will go. And so you need to hear from God. Like, you do need to hear from God for your calling. But with this calling, with this great commission, he's already spoken. He's instructed us. It's in the Bible, and we know that the Bible is truth. So he has already called us. If you think I haven't heard from God, you absolutely have heard from God. And finally, I don't know enough, or I don't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. But also, this is something I've been challenged on a lot, is that your knowledge is something that's in your power to change. You don't have the power to always say who's going to come to you with questions or where you should meet people, but you do have the power to improve your knowledge and understand what it is that you should be speaking out when someone comes to you with these questions. Reading the Bible, reading books that kind of connect the dots in the Bible, or speaking to someone here. So I'm just going to finish with a verse on that. In 2 Timothy, it says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and correctly explains the word of truth. If we can do that, then we can take up our Great Commission. We've got the knowledge, we've got the Holy Spirit, and we've got our calling from God.